Welcome to the Politics of Everything. I'm Amber Danes, your host and podcast producer. This is a half hour of power, a podcast dropping every week where I unpack the politics of everything, from money to motherhood, nutrition to narcissism, startups to secularism, the environment, quality, and much, much more. Our guests are seasoned in the field or topic of their choice, even if you've not heard of them yet. This is a non-partisan show. So while I love exploring varied views and get a buzz from a healthy debate of ideas, this is not a purely blue, white, green program. Please subscribe, tune in, and enjoy the politics of everything. Ever wondered what makes a business visible? I don't mean the likes on the socials. I mean really household name visible or a known leader in their niche. Today, I chat to Deb Szabo, a business owner who specializes in this and for 30 years has leveraged her expertise to build and scale businesses through innovative marketing. She now shares her business building methods using content marketing, video, and organic social media in her online courses and coaching. And Deb also facilitates video marketing for social media, online coaching to build businesses and personal brands online. When Deb isn't working, she can be found cooking, bike riding, or traveling to wine destinations with a video camera in hand. Her motto is simple. It's not who has the best product or service, it's about who talks the loudest. And I wonder if that always works. So let's find out the best ways to shine. Welcome to the Politics of Everything, Deb.
Thank you so much, Amber. How are you?
Podcasting remotely can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. Since day one of the Politics of Everything, I have relied on Zencastr's all-in-one solution to make the process quick and painless, the way it should be for those of us who just love great content and want to get our ideas out into the world. If you know me, I'm obsessed with quality in terms of my guests, my sound, and everything about my show has to be great the first time. I'm time poor. It's so easy to use Zencastr. I'm not tech savvy and you don't need to be either. There's nothing to download. Just click on the link and off we go. Zencastr is all about making your podcasting experience easy, and with everything from local recording to automated post-productions now in their toolkit, you don't have to leave your browser to get that episode done and done fast. I have a special offer for you, and I hopefully you can experience what I have with Zencastr. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my VIP code, the politics of everything, all lowercase and one word, to get 30% off your first 3 months of Zencastr Professional. How good is that? I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.
I'm really good. It's great to have you on the show. And this is an interesting topic because visibility can go both ways. But I will start by asking you what you thought you might do when you were a younger Deb and a little bit about your, I guess, career backstory before starting your own entity.
Yeah. Well, I guess from a wee age, I probably always wanted to be a bit of a presenter or an actor. That was always one of my things when I was growing up. And I didn't do that. I ended up working in retail in my, you know, when I was at school and then into hospitality in my early years. But I guess those two industries gave me the ability to provide solutions to people's problems. And especially with hospitality, it was always how do you make people feel good and provide a great experience. So that led into my media background. So I ended up working in radio for many years. And from there, it continued of being able to provide solutions to people to help them grow their business. So that was where my initial journey started in life, and did lots of traveling and ended up then working in wine marketing for many years following media. So
excellent. Well, that's a great background for what you do today. I'm going to ask you, what at the moment is your number one favorite business tool, and what does it do that you just love and think it makes simple or easier or better in your in your business?
I love this question. My smartphone. My iPhone is my best business tool. And because I help people with being visible online and having, you know, a camera in your back pocket to capture those moments and to be able to talk to people anywhere in the world at any time you like, literally comes down to reaching out your phone. So definitely your smartphone.
Excellent. Well, that would probably be what I would have thought you would have said. But yeah, sometimes within that, there's little gadgets and things I guess. But yeah, like you say, you've really got a whole marketing tool in our pockets these days. So what, in your view, the top three ways a business or a business leader can become visible and I guess in the right way in 2024? Mm-hmm. Because things move quickly and what worked in 2014 probably isn't the same anymore.
100%. I mean, you used to be able to send a fax to everybody to get your message out, you know, and if you asked the younger generation now, they're like, what's a fax machine? You know, it's like, so definitely what used to work doesn't necessarily work for us now. And I think with the technology moving as fast as it does, definitely AI is an incredible tool that can help our businesses. But if I look about how to become visible in the right ways, I would always go back to talking to your existing clients and consumers. And I often think we overlook them. I often think that we go chasing new followers or new customers and we forget that we actually have an amazing database of people already in our sphere that know us. And so being able to talk to those people and communicate with our people and remind them what you do and how you do it, I feel is one of the most valuable ways to get visible. And because there are so many distractions for us, and there's also a lot of new businesses or people coming up in the business realm that are competing with you, it's so important to stay relevant by being top of mind with people. So how do we do that? I think, first of all, share your message. And this is probably why I became really passionate about using video, is because video is the next best thing to standing in front of somebody. So if you're not able to have the ability to stand in front of your client or your prospect or your customers or whatever that is, using video is a really powerful way to do that. And also sharing relevant information with them. You know, I think that, yes, you still need to sell what you do, but how you sell is just by telling people what you do and sharing valuable information. So if you can combine that as talking to your existing clients, get to know them, get feedback from them, find out what they really want, because then when you can do that, you can start to share information with them online to help become a leader in your industry. And obviously using social media is such a powerful way for people to become, you know, known and also to share that information. But also going back to old school, networking with people is definitely still a very valuable thing. And whether it's networking online or in face-to-face, I think that that's still a really relevant way of building your business profile.
They're really great examples. And I suppose, I guess a mixture of all of them is ideal in many ways. We always have a preference. I think people always have, you know, some people just, they love going to events and meeting new people. Other people hate it. Other people just rely on, I guess, some of their digital platforms. And like you said, I mean, I think the challenge for that as a professional communicator in my industry is that it becomes some way, it's just a one-way conversation. That's the hard bit, I think, where you feel like you're not getting any feedback and you're not having a chat really.
Yeah, and I think that's where I go back to get to know your clients or your customers. And how you do that is, you know, now that we can be face-to-face, do that, you know, get in front of your customers as much as possible and get feedback from them so it isn't just a one-way conversation. Now, we can still do that online if they're in overseas or if they're in different states or out of the, you know, local area. And I think there's still some really powerful ways, but that's where, you know, using what's available to us online becomes a two-way street with having communication. Like social media, you can still get to know people. And a lot of people don't use the abilities of what's available, you know, like using polls and questionnaires and, you know, having a two-way conversation. Yeah.
So just on that, with digital marketing, I mean, it obviously is a great way to showcase your expertise online because you can, you know, do sound bites, you can do reels, you can do, you know, I guess blogs and things like that. How do we make sure, I guess, that it's landing? Because sometimes when you're starting out particularly, you're still refining that ideal audience that you might talk about. You may not have a database of people yet that you're speaking to. So how do you think that you can make sure that the expertise or the bits of your expertise that you're highlighting really land in that beginning phase perhaps of your business?
Look, I went through this last year because I've just started my own business again doing, you know, video marketing. And with that, I literally had not one person on my email list. But what I did have was have an amazing network of people that I could fall back on. And a lot of people forget that how many Facebook friends have you got? You know, it's like that aren't, you know, on a specific mailing list. And if you can start talking to those people and reaching out to those people and having conversations with those people, then you can start to go, okay, what interests them? What do they need? What problems am I solving? And I always go back to what problems are you solving? Even if you don't have it clearly defined, for me, it was all about trialing different things, going, what lands with people? What are their real needs? And by offering certain things, you can then go back to going, right, I'm going to do a webinar on this. Is this what people are showing up for? And then I'd find topics that I didn't think that they wanted were the topics that actually they needed the most help with. And it's literally about just trialing things and keep putting things out there for people to connect with them. So for digital marketing, for me, I always start with a game plan. So have a strategy. And that strategy encompasses what you offer, your products or your services. And then from there, you can start to fill out the year. So I look at things in campaigns and break it down. So if you're a physical business that has an actual product going, okay, well, when am I launching that product? Do I have anything new or can I repackage it and tell people about it? We often assume that everybody knows what we do. I don't know how many times that I speak to people and it's like, oh, I didn't know you did that. Oh, I didn't know you did that. I just thought you did that. And so always being coming back to people going, did you know that we offered this service or this product? I think is a great way to do that. So that's why campaigns really help to position businesses. And or if it's not a campaign, it's a theme for the month. So this, you know, month you might, if you're a service-based business, this month I might be focused on, you know, building strategy for people. Or this month I'm going to be helping people to, you know, build their social media profile, whatever it is or whatever relates to your industry, it still works the same. So having a campaign, a theme, and then breaking it down per month to share valuable information based on that topic. And so by doing that, if you're not sure what you're really doing, then you have an ability to trial different things as well. I guess it always comes back to sharing content which adds value to people's lives.
Absolutely. As someone who works obviously in online marketing as a strategist and you've got that background and you obviously create videos and help people strategize that side of their business to grow that visibility online, what are some of the biggest challenges that if you were going to sort of, you know, put your clients all together, they'd all sort of put their hand up and say, yep, this is what I struggle with, no matter what industry they're in?
Number one is time. Dedicating time to create content is probably one of the biggest things that we all fall short on. And when I hear I don't have time, it's more often comes back to we haven't made time. And in this day and age, as we spoke about before, of what we used to do in 2014 versus 2024 is so different. And to bring our businesses into this age, we have to be thinking that we have to prioritize creating content to let people know what we do and how we do it. Because if we don't, somebody else will. So for example, you wouldn't open a coffee shop if you didn't have a coffee machine and coffee beans. If you're a retailer, you wouldn't open the doors to your shop if you didn't have, you know, the till ready to go and having stock on the shelves. It's the same thing, whatever our business is, we have to prioritize some time in our calendar each week and dedicate time to creating content. And that can come in the way of batching things. So that's number one. And often you'll find that when you start to audit your time, you go, actually, it's not that I'm not making time, it's that I'm putting it off because I don't know how to do it, which brings me to the next thing is tech. There are so many different options with tech that we get so overwhelmed and confused. So we often disguise, I don't have time with, I don't know how to do it. And that comes down to knowing how to show up and use your phone in your pocket to connect with the people and where to connect with people. And that's what I talk to so many people about all the time. That's why I created an online course, because I was finding after all my years of marketing, I was having people going, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I go live? Where should I share it? How do I edit? And so these are the things that come up with people. It's not that they don't have time, that they just don't know how to do it. Then it brings me to my third thing, and that is being confident to show up on camera. As I mentioned, being face-to-face with somebody is the best thing that you can possibly do to connect with somebody. In the absence of that, showing up on video is the next best thing. And so how to do that? We often get in our way. and by not having the confidence of how to use the gear, we get scared. And then we go, oh, I'm worried about what people are going to think of me. That's another big thing is that, and I don't like to use imposter syndrome or anything, but it really is an element of going, I'm worried about what somebody's going to think of me and am I credible? And I think that, and that's exactly why I built my online course, was to help people to create confidence and show up online. I help them use shortcuts for tech so they have more time to create content and share their message. Like, I have so many businesses that I talk to that they have incredible services or products and I don't know about them. And so for me, they're the biggest challenges is helping people to share their message.
Absolutely. No, I think that's all great insights and people are probably nodding their head as you run through that list. This is a bit of a tricky one, being overexposed and therefore less successful. So, you know, for me, if I see something too much, too often, similar content from someone that I may have followed intentionally or have bought products or services from the past but don't need to hear from them daily or weekly, how do we make sure that we're tuning in and not turning off our customers? And is there an example of how it can be done better? Because I think that's often the challenge. I've seen more and more content sometimes and I'm like, yeah, I've sort of turning off this now. I'm not hearing anything you're saying.
Yeah, 100% that happens. I know myself, and you'll find that with either podcasts or with content that you know, people that you follow. You're like, oh yeah, I know that they're there. I don't need to hear that today. So it is a balancing act of having content that's relevant, that's helpful, that is, you know, going to help people in that direction, but it's also about being personal as well. And so, for example, if I use, let's say, Instagram as a social media platform, you don't want to be on Instagram selling your product all the time. You don't want to be there going buy, buy, buy. However, if you are renovating a house and at that time you're doing lots of research and you need building products and you need all the information to renovate your home, for example, then you're going to be having a window where you are intensely interested in something. So you need to have that stuff come up in your feed a lot. However, how you get to know somebody beyond what they sell all the time is having a personal relationship with them. And that's where something like stories come into it. So just by sharing stories about who you are, it has longevity with people of getting to know you. And what happens is when people buy, they're not always in the market for it. So things like, you know, milk and bread, you're in it every week, right? But when it comes to bigger purchase items or bigger experiences or services, you might only buy it once a year. People will often follow you for 6 months to a year before they even purchase something from you.
I hear that all the time. They're like, they're lurking. And I suppose is it the tipping point? But other times, you know, you see people who might do limited launches, for example. I'm in the online course world as well as my other business. And so that seems to create scarcity and therefore create, I guess, momentum. You know, it's that's
but
the
those
challenge.
people will still often follow you for 6 to 12 months before they, and so the reason why people will buy if they've never heard of you is because they have an urgent need for it right at that time. So working in radio for years, we had you had to have so many ads on radio to have a frequency of 4 for people to buy. Now these days it's like 20, okay? Because it's like we are flooded with messages on our radar all the time, like 10,000 advertising messages a day we're bombarded with apparently. So when you think about that, you go, how do you cut through that? And if you think about what are the steps, those 4 steps, it was attention, interest, desire, action. Those were the 4 elements of frequency that you had to have for people to convert. These days, like if you look at the marketing rule, then it's more like 7 times, because if they don't know you, then you have to add in the know, like, and trust factor first before they have the attention, interest, desire, and action to purchase from you. So I have a rule when I work with a winery and we have always new products and experiences coming out. So in that, I have a 20-point touch rule. So when you release a new experience or a new event, you need to have it, the message pushed out 20 times out to everyone. Okay.
Wow, that seems a lot, doesn't it? Like it does seem excessive in some 100%. Ways.
100%. And do you know what? Out of all those people that are on that database, you still have people going, oh, I didn't know about that wine dinner. And it's like, look, and you go, how do you not know about it? Because we sit there as business owners and we think, surely people are sick of hearing my message. But what really happens is we need to hear it. So if you put out the same message the same way, people will switch off.
So, yeah. So you can't just send an EDM with the same stuff and resend it going, hey, in case you missed this, you need it to be fresh in a way.
Yeah. So you need to have a conversation with them broken up. So it's like what creates an interest, the attention to get that. Okay. So what will then spark my interest to do this? And so if I'm talking about a particular event, it's like, here's the details, here's the raw details. Okay. And here's, then I can go back and show some testimonials of previous people. Then I can go back and show some pictures of some food. Then I can show some pictures of the chef. So I'm still selling the same message, but in 20 different ways often. Okay. So it's just about, you know, consistency with that messaging. So when you do campaigns, I like to have campaigns that have a consistent brand, font, images. You'll do your videos and your photos for that campaign, and it has the same feel. So when people see it, they go, oh, yeah, that looks the similar. I can relate to that. Mm. However, you still want to be able to go, okay, with this product, this is, you know, how you use it. This is what it does. This is, so you've got to explain the features and benefits differently. And then you've got to ask for the order. And that's often what people forget when they're either sell, and people switch off from that, or they don't make it easy for people to buy.
Yeah, they don't do it at all. There's no call to action. It's like,
correct.
Okay, so that's great, but what do you want me to do with that information?
Yeah, and I know that like when we send out emails, often people go, oh, send an email out once a week. Jeez, that's a lot of emails. People will switch off. No. It's if you don't stay in front of people, if you don't, and that's why consistency is important on social media as well, because if you don't show up consistently, then people do forget about you. And if I go back to your network of immediate people, your friends and family, do all of those people know everything about what you do? And often they don't. They often think, oh, you know, they know you do this thing or that thing, but they don't know you do this, this, and this. So that's why I always encourage, educate your immediate circle around you about what you do. And whether that's having a familiarization, have a product day, send your, you know, close people a free sample of what you do, because they are your best word of mouth when it comes to a referral. You know, because people aren't always in the need. They don't always have the need for that at the time. And that's why online course creators, for example, when we do a product launch, there's that scarcity of going, okay, I'm going to do a whole lot of rah-rah conversation and leading up to it. So there's that anticipation. And then you go in and then you go, right, it's available for this amount of time only, or this bonus is available for this time only. Yeah. And that's why and that's when we have an urgency to buy, because people get to that stage. People buy for emotion or logic.
Yeah,
and
with logic, absolutely.
The logic is my washing machine has broken down and I've got 10 loads of washing and I need a washing machine. That's the urgent, logical reason why you go out and buy a washing machine. The emotional reason is because, oh, geez, I've always wanted a new kitchen, and, oh, I saw, you know, Shayna Blaze talking about this oven. Oh, I really like what she did on the block, blah, 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 blah. So that's where we can then go into going, that's where that familiarity of that trust is showing up consistently happens. So overexposure, you want to vary your message, but be consistent.
That makes sense. Look, I do a lot of crisis comms work with entities. It could be anything from an external crisis, such as a terrorist attack on an airline, or it could be an internal crisis, like a financial scandal with a board and so forth. Being digitally visible in a business crisis, in my experience, is an important tool because, you know, lots of people jump online when you're not doing the right thing and will speak on your behalf. Thinking about companies, and, you know, we've had some scandals in Australia like Qantas or Optus, or, you know, there's global scandals with some cryptocurrencies overseas and things like that. What do you think is kind of the key to getting digital visibility right in a crisis situation? Do you have any sort of views on that?
Yeah, it's a great question, because it's something that we all dread.
Because it's great in good times to be like waxing lyrical, but I think a lot of people hide when it, and I don't often think that's the right approach.
Yeah, and I agree with you there, because in an age where we've become less personal, being accessible means so much more. So if you think about when you need help and you ring a company, one, you've got to go searching for phone numbers these days. Mm. Then you've got to press 3, press 4, on hold for an hour, and it's really frustrating. So what became, hey, my phone's not working or I can't get my flight, becomes so much more over-exaggerated of the frustration level that you can, and you have the power to get online and complain and leave one-star reviews and things. But from my experience, I believe keeping people informed without looking incompetent. So being transparent without looking incompetent. And I think when you have confidence, so it doesn't matter, we all have issues or emergencies or crises. Yeah, we're all human, and especially when it's out of our control. But when you show up with confidence and you provide clarity to consumers, I think that's what matters. And I think about lockdown, and at the time people were losing their jobs and people were cancelling things left, right, and centre. And I speak to, you know, people in travel that happened to them. And I had a conversation 2 days ago with a business owner in that industry, and they had accommodation.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing for us when we were at the winery, it's like we were about to send out club shipments. And what we did was go on video, and we did a video message to say, we understand your situation. We understand. And so we got on the front foot with
that. Yeah, the front foot, I think, is the key, and not waiting till you're attacked or questioned shamed, if you like. Yeah.
Yeah. Have the confidence to provide clarity to people, I think, means so much more. And if you can get on the front foot and anticipate that, we know that you're concerned about this, we know that this has happened. If you go silent and ghost people, that's when the cycle of frustration and bad mouthing and, you know, what can be a minor thing turns really dramatic. So
absolutely. Turning my attention back to you, Dev, your biggest life lesson to date, and why? What has it really taught you in a nutshell?
I think I've just had a break over the festive season, and coming back to a fresh year, I'm very focused this year on working in my thrive zone, working in my genius zone, understanding my personality type, and outsourcing those things that slow me down and bog me down. And I think for me is that if you're in business and, I work with businesses that are bringing in team, it's really important if you're bringing in team to also know how they complement your business and that they're working in their genius zones as well, because we are so much more productive when we are in our thrive zones. So that's probably my biggest lesson in life is, give everything a go, but, fine tune it, get to know. Personality types are wonderful for that as well. Some wonderful books on that.
Absolutely. Your own version of success is different, obviously, to the next person. What would you define success as this stage of life for you?
For me, in this stage, this journey of part of my life, the ability to work on projects that bring me joy and that help other people, that make a difference, is definitely my theme for this year is all about how can I help people and things, and obviously financial freedom to do this, because, often we work in jobs for many years that we don't necessarily like, and we think, and we've all done it. We've had the smile and wave job so we can, get the house or go on the holiday or whatever. But I think the biggest thing for me, success, is about, working in my thrive zone, working on projects that bring me joy and that make a difference to people's lives.
Excellent. I love that. Final takeaway message for us on the politics of business visibility for everyone listening.
I'm going to come back to the power of what's in your pocket to share our message of what we do and how we help people, because for every business that's out there, they do something that's unique to anyone else, and make time to create content that is helpful and relevant to your clients. Get to know your clients. Get feedback from them. A lot of time we're scared to get feedback, and find out what they need and want. Connect with them face to face, or if you can't, then use video. I like to use both. So use video, use, all the technology that's available with AI to shortcut things. Yeah, there's so many resources out there that can help people get visible these days.
Thank you so much for your time. If you do want to connect further with Deb, of course, there's details on the show notes. Until next time, do take care. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you've enjoyed the politics of everything, I thrive on your feedback. So please add a short review and share the podcast with your network through Apple,
Spotify, and all the usual suspects. I'm always on the hunt for new and diverse guests, so if you or someone you know has a fresh idea you're busting to get out there, please email me at amber@amberdanes.com and my crew will get back to you very soon.